Welcome to another episode of From the Roots Up. I'm Sean Frame, and this week we talk about a subject that may seem foreign or like an ancient history to many of you. I'm talking about organized labor. You see, right now, just under 10% of Americans work in unionized jobs. And, you know, back in the 1950s and 1954, we reached a peak of about 35% of Americans worked in a unionized workplace. Maybe you've never worked in a union job yourself. You may not know anybody who's ever worked in a union workplace. So when somebody talks about labor, you know, you get these pictures of people picketing and being, you know, attacked by the Pinkertons. You don't really have a notion of what it really means to be in organized labor. And, you know, I was pretty much like you. For most of my career, I was, as we call it in labor, the boss. I was running a company that I founded. And even though I often hired union labor, I was never able to take a union job because I was the employer. And I really didn't know what it was like, except for what it was like to hire a union worker. I also had the experience as an activist of standing with union workers in pickets and organizing drives. But still, it's different when your livelihood is reliant upon a good union contract. 8 years ago, I took my first union job, and I've now worked my way up into the leadership of my union chapter, first as chapter communications officer, and now as a steward and a member of the negotiating team. And this experience has shown me the power of organizing people from the ground, the grassroots, up. And though I'm still learning, I'm beginning to see why workers for generations have relied on and built their union for justice, both in the workplace and in the wider world. Today on From the Roots Up, our guest is someone who grew up in the labor movement and who is an amazing labor activist and leader in her own right. This episode of From the Roots Up is brought to you by The Torch Club, Sacramento's premier live music venue every Wednesday to Sunday. Check them out at 904 15th Street in Sacramento or online at torchclub.net. We all know that money spent on politicians is nothing more than a bribe. Citizens United called it free speech, but we know better. But what if we could balance the scale a few bucks at a time? That's what we're doing at the Six Pack, taking small donations and adding them up to make things more fair. Crack open some change. Support the Six Pack. Paid for by the Six Pack, which is responsible for the content of this advertising. www.thesixpack.com. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Today on From the Roots Up, I've got a very special guest. This is Fatima Garcia. She is the president of the Sacramento chapter of the Labor Council for Latin American Advancement, also known as LACLA. That's how I've always known it. Then I always have to think, like, I know what that acronym is, but welcome, Fatima. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Sean. I'm really excited to be here today and talk with all of your listeners.
Yeah, well, you know, this is the first show, and it should have been show number one, but it didn't work out that way. This is the first show I've got to talk about something that's close to both of our hearts, which is organized labor. And so, you know, this is like our passion, the thing we you know, get up and do every day. Even though I have a regular job and I'm just a member, the folks I work with are my siblings, and I take this work very seriously. And it kind of goes back to childhood. We may get into my story later, but I want to hear about LACLA. How did LACLA get started? Where are their chapters, and, you know, what's sort of the history of LACLA? Tell us about it.
Yeah, so the Labor Council for Latin America has been in existence since the 60s, and it is a national organization. It has chapters in LA, in Chicago, in Florida, in San Francisco, Sacramento, LA. It is focused on the advancement of Latino workers and all workers. They have a very strong advocacy in support of migrant workers. And they focus, all of Latin America. So we're talking about in, workers from Cuba, from El Salvador, from Ecuador, from Mexico, from Colombia. All of Latin America is represented in this labor council.
That's amazing. So it's not like a lot of people think of as labor as either a local thing, right? They think of it like on the chapter level because they know people who may have a union job, and they think of, or maybe they think of it even as a state or occasionally a national level. But this is an international labor organization.
This is, it has became an international labor organization. I think that a lot of people, including Al Rojas, which is one of the founders of the Sacramento chapter here in our region, had a very good analysis that forced migration was the reason why workers were leaving their countries in look of better opportunities to provide some opportunity for their children to have education, higher educational opportunities, and connecting that the same workers that are working here are the same workers working across any border because of transnational corporations and free trade agreements.
Yeah, so there's
So it has
obviously.
really linked.
Oh, go ahead.
It has really linked workers on all sides of the border and have this like worldwide analysis that the same corporation exploiting the workers here in the United States are the same corporations exploiting the workers in Mexico and the Philippines, all over the world.
Well, my shoes, they come from Singapore. My flesh, that's from Taiwan. Together down in Argentina, by a guy making 30 cents a day.
From the Roots Up is community radio that is sponsored by community businesses. If you'd like to join the growing list of folks who make this show possible, reach out to Jenny, Jenny, at khi.com.
If you stop at the border of your town or the border of your state or the border of your country, you're missing the way that capitalism is actually working in the 21st century economy, right? It's labor is wherever they can go and find somebody to exploit for the maximum profit for their shareholders. So, that's the way capital sees it. So I guess in the labor movement, we kind of have to see it the same way, right?
Yeah, it doesn't stop. It does not stop at a border. The exploitation of the working class continues worldwide, and unfortunately, which allows us to also maximize our efforts in solidarity and build even stronger, independent worker campaigns, because it's not just happening to us here, it's happening to us on a global spectrum.
Yeah, working class people anywhere recognize the same problems. They're very recognizable. When you talk to somebody who goes to work every day, you will hear them talking about the same problems with the boss that they have here, they have in Mexico, they have it in, Vietnam, they have it in Colombia, they wherever, right? Like this is a common thread that we all understand and all share, and cuts across culture and language and other things that might separate us. As soon as you start talking about people's work life, they're like, oh, yeah, I've had that ex exact experience. I know what you're talking about. Which is nice, actually. As you said, it creates an opportunity for global solidarity, maybe in a way that, in a larger world where we were all in our own silos, it wasn't really as easy. So, you bring up the LACLA was founded in the 1970s, and I would imagine. There was globalization at that point, but it really, what was the, it was founded within the, or with the, within the AFL-CIO, right? Like originally the founding of LACNA.
Yes, it was founded in 1973 by Latino trade unionists, and they were advocating for 8-hour work days, better working conditions, better wages, And it has been a huge tool for organized labor. In particular, again, there's a lot of workforce that does come from the Latin America continent, and their struggles seem to be similar, but not represented by the trade unionists in the way of their cultural, their language. So LACLA really has tried to make sure that, the language is accessible. They're able to read the material in their own language. They're able to have discussions in their own language. And the issues, again, are very similar regardless of the language. We're all seeing low wages. We are seeing the conditions at work, the workload get bigger, but our wages aren't being increased. So the problems are the same, but it's more of a able to meet people where they are and also have some type of cultural representation in the labor movement as well.
Calienta mi alma y borra mi dolor con tu luz de la vida, con tu calor de amor. Pero calienta mi alma y borra mi dolor con tu luz de la vida, con tu calor de amor.
If you love live music and want to be up close and personal with the band, there's only one place to go, the Torch Club. This hotspot is the place to be with two shows a day, Wednesday to Sunday. Check out the upcoming shows at torchclub.net or just drop by 904 15th Street in Sacramento. The Torch Club, there's always something happening. From the Roots Up is brought to you by The Six Pack. Crack open some change and support the candidates and causes we need in these times. Paid for by The Six Pack, which is responsible for the content of this advertising. www.thesixpack.com. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
You mentioned that, forced migration was part of the issue, right? It was sort of wrapped up in this whole issue of labor. We're in some challenging times related to immigration, right? And how do you see what's going on right now in immigration in the United States intersecting with the labor movement and with the work that LACLA has done all these years?
It's very interesting because we have LACLA, at least Sacramento chapter, has been denouncing guest worker programs and forced migration for the last 20, 25 years. And we have had a very militant opposition on guest worker programs. And what we're seeing right now with this current administration is that what these corporations want is modern day slavery, right? We are having people be picked up from the Home Depots and being put in detention centers. Trump is calling this a mass deportation effort, but in reality, this is a mass detention effort. Majority of the people who are being picked up are being detained in these private detention centers and having to work for corporations like Walmart, McDonald's, these private ran detention centers that are being worked by the detainees. They're doing the cooking, they're doing the laundry, they're doing assembling the beds. You name it, they are actually forced to work in these detention centers under really horrible conditions. And so what we're seeing right now is focus on more indentured servitude conditions of the workforce. And it's migrants are always the scapegoat, but we should be prepared to see this across sectors, regardless of legal status in this country. This is just the first experiment that this administration is having with our workforce. Time and time again, it's the migrant labor workforce that ends up being the first experiment to these types of programs and conditions.
Yeah, it sounds like you've seen it the way I do, which is that, these aren't deportations. When you're putting people in detention centers, and our Constitution has an exemption for slave labor practices for those who are imprisoned and incarcerated, right? It's then a straight line from arresting people who are workers to putting them in private prisons to turning them into a prison slave labor force, right? Like, is this really their game? It's the way I saw it. It was my nightmare scenario, but is this what you believe is happening?
Yes, it is. And I think the more people start to investigate and research, you're starting to see more articles and data that prove that is what's happening. And then, I particularly pay attention to a lot of the politics in Mexico, and the numbers of deportations that Mexico is reporting are very low compared to the numbers and the quota that this Trump administration is saying of picking up at least 3,000 people a day to detain. And so when you look at the numbers of people being deported to their countries and the quota that the United States, and you compare them, and you ask, like, well, what's happening to people, right? And some people, we can't even find them in these detention centers. They disappear. So we're calling these workplace raids kidnapping of our people, of workers.
Yeah, so this notion that they're rounding up the quote bad people and sending them back to their country, it just hasn't been true, right? They're rounding people up based on their look. I mean, we had a Supreme Court basically uphold racial profiling yesterday, which means anybody with skin that is darker than mine could be picked up, detained, put into a system, taken across the country for all we know, right? We don't know where they are detained. Oftentimes, as you said, and then put to work, which is the, I mean, look, I went to Germany in the early 90s when I was young and visited Dachau. And if you don't know, in German, over the gate of Dachau, it says, "Work will set you free." To me, that has always been in my mind that people never talked about, like even capitalist, America's history, where we've supposedly fought the Nazis and put them down and ended that reign of terror. Nobody talked about the fact that those camps were designed to put people to work, and they were scientifically organized around the notion of using the folks they rounded up to do work. And now we're seeing it here, and maybe that slogan isn't over the camp, but I wouldn't put it past them to hang a sign that said that. So that's a dark moment we're
I
in right
mean,
now.
yeah, I mean the Alcatraz Detention Center in Florida, Alligator Alcatraz, is definitely, I feel like it is a mock trial of the camps that you're explaining, right? The conditions there are horrible. They are like concentration camps. And again, we're seeing more data come out of workers, working conditions and being forced to work. I mean, here in California, there has been strikes at detention centers that workers don't want to work under these conditions. And it's terrible because majority of the people who are being kidnapped are men. So we're talking about the providers of the families, right? We are talking about the protectors of our family unit. And what we're seeing is that these detention centers are all for profit. So if you want to reach out to your family, you're going to work for a dollar a day. So they're saying that they get paid a dollar a day. A call is $5. You're working 5 days a week for a dollar a day just to reach out to your family to let them know that you're okay. And so they're placed in these conditions where the material and the demand of wanting to stay in contact with your family, one, you know, the separation of families and the trauma that children of these mixed status or families without legal status in this country are going through right now force the men, these provider, these protectors to work under these conditions. It's like they have no choice, but some have been organizing in these detention centers, hunger strikes, other type of like images, like the SOS image that came out where detainees at the detention center were asking for help, pleading for help, right? We're seeing videos being leaked from these detention centers where the management of or Homeland Security is saying that these conditions are a lie, that these statements are a lie. And then we're seeing these videos being leaked from New York, for example, where there was 30 people in a cage. And so the more we create awareness and the more we build that solidarity with inmates, not just in these detention centers, but wrongly convicted in the prison, school to prison pipeline, I think, and talk about the labor, right? I feel like labor doesn't take on that issue as much, but connect it to the exploitation that we're seeing outside of these prisons. I can hear you breathing down the hall. Soul in isolation. I can hear you whisper through the walls. If I had a mind to now, I could call to you. I could simply shout.
If you love live music and want to be up close and personal with the band, there's only one place to go, the Torch Club. This hotspot is the place to be with two shows a day, Wednesday to Sunday. Check out the upcoming shows at torchclub.net or just drop by 904 15th Street in Sacramento. The Torch Club, there's always something happening. We all know that money spent on politicians is nothing more than a bribe. Citizens United called it free speech, but we know better. But what if we could balance the scale a few bucks at a time? That's what we're doing at the Six Pack, taking small donations and adding them up to make things more fair. Crack open some change. Support the Six Pack. Paid for by the Six Pack, which is responsible for the content of this advertising. www.thesixpack.com. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Guess I planted some long ocean seed of a song with that inside me long ago. And now I can't remember when it was, but it joined up with the rest of them and grows. It's such a little song, it don't compare with all your big ones you hear everywhere. But when it dawns, way in the back of your mind, the big ones are made up by the little kind. Union song, union battle, all added up, what is all what we got now? Union song, union battle.
I would like to ask you a question. It's some question I've always wanted to ask you, which is, you know, you grew up in a family that was involved in organized labor, right? And like, we all have our family quote business, you know, like my stepdad was an engineer, right? And I remember the day that I knew I wasn't going to be an engineer, right? Like, wasn't that I didn't respect him, or it was like, I saw what he did and I'm like, that is not me. I can't do that. So, you know, how did you decide, when did you decide that this was going to be your life's pursuit? And was it something that you took you a while, or was it like, did you, you know, how did you get there? I've always wondered that.
Yeah. So, you know, Al Rojas, pillar of the labor movement internationally, a founder of the UFW and a founder of Local 1000, and helped birth the first agricultural union, Sinja, in San Quintin, Baja California, a few years ago in 2015, 2016, he took me under his wing, showed me, taught me about the labor movement. And I think I still fight it to this day of my commitment, or if this is actually what I want to continue to do. I've tried to do other things, but, you know, it's like the universe tells me that this is my purpose, because I always come back to organized labor. It's something that I'm very passionate about. And I feel that the way that I would ask questions in our one-on-ones, you know, at home, during dinner, was that the labor movement, we all have to work in a capitalist system. So when we talk about labor, it is definitely an arena that unifies, that should unify and build solidarity compared to other issues, right? I feel like other issues are debatable, but when we talk about living in a capitalist system, is we all have to work in order to provide for ourselves, whether it's housing, healthcare, quality food, education. And I see the power of collective action. I've seen it with SEIU. I've seen it with different labor organizations that I've been a part of. And so it has always been the collective action and the solidarity building across sectors has always been a place of hope for me, especially during dark times, knowing that if we were to continue to push self-determination and healthy debates and assess the conditions that we're living, that we are intelligent enough to also come up with the solutions that we need to change the living conditions that we're living in today. And with that, it has, again, been the arena of hope during these dark times. There are times where I just wake up and like, I just cry for the day. We are living some really heavy times. To see and hear, being on the ground and listening to workers who are being displaced from their jobs, from their communities. This is the only light at the end of the tunnel. Labor is the only light at the end of the tunnel that I see. But I, and also, you know, being mentored and, you know, Al Rojas being my gramps, it's really hard to decide how to move in the labor movement when he was such a pillar and did such amazing work internationally, that it does put some pressure. But I think that just continuing to organize, continue to show up with integrity, that's something that he did very well, and not sell out the working class, you know, for our own personal agenda, coming from a place of integrity for, and love for the work, is very hard to find these days. I feel like the labor movement and the leadership and the co-opting of the working class has damaged the trust among the working class. And so just holding that line of integrity is critical. And I learned from the best. So, you know, that pressure is always felt for sure.
Yeah, but yeah, I'll tell you, just as an outsider, I've always seen you have your own way about it, right? Your own mind about it. And obviously you carry those lessons that you've had your whole life with, you know, your gramps being somebody who was such a big part of the labor movement. But you've made it your own, right? And I'm glad to hear that it wasn't just like, oh, you woke up one day, you're like, yep, this is my life. It's going to be easy, you know, that, because it's not easy work, right? So, and it's not for everybody, right? So, yeah, I could imagine. But I'll tell you this.
Yeah,
it occurs to me,
definitely not easy work.
I'll tell you what occurs to me too, Fatima, is that Al's work is the reason I even knew about organized labor as a child and what it was. And the work of the UFW, the Great Boycott, I didn't know anything about it. I grew up in suburban San Jose in the 70s, and I was walking down the street with my mom, and I saw a no grapes sign in the window of an apartment. And I said, well, what's wrong with grapes? You know, like I'm a little kid. And my mom says, you know, they don't want us to buy grapes because the people who pick the grapes aren't being treated fairly by the people they work for. And I was old enough to know what a boss was. I was in school. So if you're in school, you know what a boss is. So I got that. And I was like, wait, they just got together and said, don't buy their product until they treat us right. And you know, this is my little 8-9-year-old mind is working, you know, and I thought, wow, that's powerful. And it stuck with me like that moment. And as I got older, I mean, I was surprised that that wasn't a bigger part of the history lessons I was learning in school. It seemed like a revelation to me that an imbalance of power could be affected by collective action. Like I got it, even as a little kid, I got what that meant and the power of that. And so, you know, when you're out there doing your work, Fatima, you got to realize, like, you don't know the impact one thing you do will have on somebody else who will then later take that ball and carry it further or carry it in a different direction. That's the power of collective action, right? Like, to me. So then meeting Al as an adult all those years later, after I had mostly been an employer and not an employee because I started my own business right out of school. I met the person that sort of connected the whole circle for me. It was wild. And then I got to know you and your mom, and like I got a wider sense of what this movement was about from a completely different angle. This is the power we have of transforming people in the work that we do in ways that go beyond your knowledge, your expectation of what you're doing, right?
From the Roots Up is community radio that is sponsored by community businesses. If you'd like to join the growing list of folks who make this show possible, reach out to Jenny, J-E-N-N-Y, at khi.com.
This tape leads me to the thing I want to ask you about next, which is the very exciting thing that you're working on right now, which I think is one of those things that, like, in these dark times, it gives me such hope.
Thank you. And I'm really excited to share the news. We are opening the first day labor center. And it is Sembrando Semillas Day Labor Center, Day Labor Worker Center here in Sacramento, where we will be focusing on day laborers. And I think a lot of times when we think about day laborers, we just think of workers who stand in front of a Home Depot looking for work. And day laborers are construction workers, domestic workers, laundry workers, food delivery workers, gardeners, nannies, house cleaners, street vendors. And what we're seeing right now with this economy and the layoffs, and, you know, we know that the employers and corporations always end up cutting the workforce to cut their expending, or and what we foresee in the next few years is that a lot of workers are going to be displaced into day laborers, and having to pick up different kinds of jobs just to survive. And so I think it's a great time in our region for a program where we are focusing on unorganized workers that are day laborers that are, you know, working a different job every day. And we see the workforce changing to this type of conditions.
So, are you saying that like folks who work in all these different jobs are going to be organized? They're going to get a decent wage, you know, they're going to have the same rights as unionized workers in a workplace? Is that like the goal of this thing? Because that's amazing.
The goal is definitely to better their conditions, and somewhat negotiate their own wages. We definitely will have like suggested wages that we would be dealing with employers with our hiring hub. We are following the leadership of the National Day Labor Organizing Network, ENDLON, who has been doing this work for over 20 years and has provided an opportunity for Sacramento to also explore this new arena. And so there's different kinds of programs that we will be launching. Again, the hiring hub right now, because of the attacks at Home Depot, we definitely want to figure out a safer way to keep families together and workers safe. We will also be doing leadership and organizing, developments, programs where, it is having workers assess why we are living under these conditions through popular and political education. Not tied to a political party, more so understanding why we are in the current situation that we are, and power mapping to see who has the power to change these conditions. How can we influence these stakeholders, these politicians, to better the conditions and have the workers develop their strategic plan to and solutions, right, to what that looks like, what the needs are, and what we could do in a quick turnaround to better their living conditions.
One for the righteous, one for the ruling class. One for the slaughtered lamb. One for the struggle. One for the lasting peace. One for you. And one for me.
This episode of From the Roots Up is brought to you by the Torch Club, Sacramento's premier live music venue, every Wednesday to Sunday. Check them out at 904 15th Street in Sacramento or online at torchclub.net. We all know that money spent on politicians is nothing more than a bribe. Citizens United called it free speech, but we know better. But what if we could balance the scale a few bucks at a time? That's what we're doing at the Six Pack, taking small donations and adding them up to make things more fair. Crack open some change. Support the Six Pack. Paid for by The Six Pack, which is responsible for the content of this advertising. www.thesixpack.com. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
I love that so much of what you're talking about is being initiated by the workers themselves to figure out what their wages ought to be, to understand how to navigate better conditions for themselves in the workplace. And then I love that there's this, solidarity around it that allows these folks to continue to do their work in a way that is significantly safer for themselves and their families. Because, when those arrests happened here in Sacramento, I went down to my local Home Depot to see what was happening over there. And, I would say some of the workers there were aware of what was happening and the danger they were in, and others were certainly not. And it was very hit or miss. And there did seem to be a little bit of a community out there. I feel like folks, knew each other, they were having these conversations on their own, but you're giving them a place to do it that's a little more formal, a little more organized, and still leaving them in the power of determining their own situation, right?
I think that's one thing that I've learned working in organized labor and then having the opportunity to work with non-organized workers is that they really have built their own networks. And all we have to do is provide the space and some tools and some structure, but they are the experts of what they're living, of their work. Working conditions of what is needed to better their livelihoods. And so when we take away from them actually stepping into these leadership roles, we are losing the opportunity to actually build and move into collective action and true solidarity, not transactional solidarity where we say, hey, we're going to mobilize for this meeting and you're not going to have a role. We're going to tell you what to say. No, this is a trial and error process. I think organizing is, and coming back to the table and understanding that we are going to have to try many things and be creative. But nonetheless, that if it isn't with the leadership of those impacted directly, we lose, right? Because if you're not being impacted directly, are you really invested in the fight? You have nothing to lose when you're impacted because you're already li living these unsafe, unhealthy, a really bad quality of life. And so when we talk about building leadership by impacted people, it is those that are already being displaced, are already homeless. A lot of the day laborers live in their cars. So they're already at the end of despair, and allowing them to have a safe place to and tools to assess. Their intelligence is mind-blowing. They know exactly what's happening. They live this in their home countries, and they also resist it in their home countries. So they understand the importance of being organized. It's just building those relationships and building that trust amongst us and that vulnerability, right? I feel like a lot of times capitalism and society shies away and also bullies people who talk about going through their struggles or mental health. It's like we all have to have this act of having everything put together and, living in this perfect world when in reality, majority of us are living a paycheck from being homeless or living a paycheck or living paycheck to paycheck and have to make hard decisions whether we have enough to for gas to get to work or have enough to provide food on the table for our families, but we are left with having to make difficult decisions. And I think being more vocal and allowing us to have these difficult conversations really build true solidarity instead of just acting like everything is okay and putting people down who are struggling. I think like we need to really change that mindset. And I feel like having a worker center here, a day labor worker center here in Sacramento is going to be very a great opportunity for us to have these difficult conversations and have these power analysis that are necessary for us to be strategic in the problem solutions that we develop.
We all know that money spent on politicians is nothing more than a bribe. Citizens United called it free speech, but we know better. But what if we could balance the scale a few bucks at a time? That's what we're doing at the Six Pack, taking small donations and adding them up to make things more fair. Crack open some change. Support the Six Pack. Paid for by the Six Pack, which is responsible for the content of this advertising. www.thesixpack.com. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
To make a mountain of your life.
Before we go, there's a couple of things I want to ask you. First of all, I think what you're doing with the Day Labor Center is absolutely amazing. Is there any way our listeners could support that? Information you could share here that I could that people can support it, or any actions they could take that would support it? And then I think as a follow on to that, I'd like to know, I always try and leave listeners in a place of how they can build power in their own community. I think that when we talk about these very challenging subjects that, you know, are often nightmare producing, well, when you really dig into them and think about them deeply, that people need a place to understand where they can engage and what they can do. So those two things, how can they help the labor center, and what can our listeners do to get out and engage in the labor movement?
So Endelon has been, has launched a campaign to adopt a corner, meaning to adopt the Home Depot. We, if you look us up, we'll start to show up in the Google engine as Sembrando Semillas Day Labor Worker Center. We won't, we still have a few more weeks to launch and getting all of our social media and website up to date currently. But if you research Sembrando Semillas Day Labor Worker Center in Sacramento, we should start popping up if you're interested in adopting a corner, adopting a Home Depot, or being a part of those efforts. You can contact me directly at sacramento@lacla.org. That's my email. You can reach out to me there. And as far as, or for the second follow-up question, I think we as community always try to look outside of our circles to try to make a difference. And I've been encouraging and challenging folks to look inside of their communities. I feel like meeting your neighbors, introducing yourself to your neighbors, making sure that you at least know who you are, having dinners together, having political conversations together, talking about the differences, you know, having difficult conversations. I think it's so important. I think the only thing that really is going to work is organizing block by block. That means if you are in a community, whether it's a community that is impacted or not, but having these conversations to create awareness is going to be so powerful, because fascism is here. And if we're not communicating with each other, if we're not allowing each other, if we're not allowing to learn and teach each other from each other, then we are missing an opportunity, because no one is going to save us. And so, you know, a lot of times people are encouraging folks to become members of an organization, right? An organization that aligns with your values and morals. But I also think that, like, before we take that commitment, it is important to really know your neighbors. I know that for myself, all of my neighborhood is, you know, I walk my dog and I use that as like the tool to get to know everybody. I stop and have conversations with them, right? Assess and listen. I think also being great listeners during these times gives you a lot of insight to then assess how to make decisions based on what you're hearing on the ground. And so I really encourage you, if you don't know your neighbors yet, to start there. And then once you feel confident and able to commit to becoming a member of an organization is also another thing that you can focus on. And if you're a union member, pressure on your leadership, pressure on management to really take action during these times is encouraged.
Wow, that is an amazing list, and it's stuff that just anybody could do where they are. And that's exactly what we look for here on From the Roots Up. I'd like to repeat your email address in sacramento@lacla.org. That's L-C-L-A-A .org. And so reach out to Fatima if you'd like to find out more about how you can support the Day Labor Center. Fatima Garcia, so happy to finally have this conversation with you here. I learned every time we talk in person, and I learned even more today. So I'm glad to share that with our audience. Thank you, Fatima.
Thank you so much, Sean. It's an honor to be here with you today, and thank you for all the great work that you do. I also learn from you.
From the Roots Up is community radio that is sponsored by community businesses. If you'd like to join the growing list of folks who make this show possible, reach out to Jenny, J-E-N-N-Y, at khi.com. We're back. And though we've done quite a few shows now, I'm not sure we've ever had a guest who more embodies the ethos of From the Roots Up. I mean, conceptually, the show is about building an understanding of our world and building power for us. And Fatima is doing that each and every day in her role as a labor leader. If you want to make a difference in the lives of people around you, take a page out of Fatima's book, or join her in helping people. But either way, you can do it. You can do it in your community, and you can make it happen. You just need to identify a need, organize people, gather people, make it happen, have a vision, and make sure that vision comes from the roots up, from the people. Organize from the bottom to the top. That's how change has always happened and how it can happen now. I'm Sean Frame.
I hope you'll join me every week as we delve into a topic like this, and I hope you'll engage me in a conversation. If you want to reach out to us, send an email to fromtherootsupshow@gmail.com.
If you worked a little harder, then you'd have a lot more. So the blame and the shame's on you for being so damn poor. It ain't the price gouging, and it ain't the inflation. Everyone above you trying to make a buck from you in school and the whole congregation. I had to have reduced lunch, I had the benefit cards. Never occurred to me to blame my family for life being so damn hard. I should have paid attention like when I was in school. Then I could figure up the tax, I would know a lot of facts. I missed the class where they taught the rules. I was memorizing capitals, I was in the spelling bee. I must have missed the part where they taught the art of private equity. I was selling chocolate bars, I had a disorder. I was cutting up a frog, got lost in the fog, learning how to play recorder. If you only worked a little harder. If you worked a little harder. If you worked a little harder. You'd have a lot more. So the blame and the shame's on you for being so damn poor. It ain't the banks, and it ain't the taxes. It ain't the payday loans and high rent homes and predatory fees and practices. Wave your dumb flag, whatever it means. But you should ask yourself when it comes to health of the poor, really all that free. If you're worth a little. Blame and the shame's on you for being so damn poor, yeah.